Luke 9, verse 10. There are many people who easily see themselves as diagnosticians, detectives, or therapists. They are really good at discovering what the problem is, where the problem is, who caused it. They may even be very good at knowing how to solve the problem. But unfortunately, that is where many people stop. I know what the problem is, I know what caused the problem, and I'm done. And folks, that is not the true calling of a child of God, to see an issue and let that go. It was a few weeks ago, there was that bat down in the basement. And I tell you what, I felt like Elmer Fudd for a few days. I was walking through being very, very quiet. Just looking for that thing. How am I going to get it, right? There was a problem. Many of the men in the church, all right, well, we can do this, we can do that. And I said, hey, here's the plan. We never found the bat, so we could do any of the thing any of us talked about. Right? Never could quite get our hands near it or get eyes on it, so we couldn't do the things that we planned. That's okay. But we had plans. The men had talked about it. This is how we're going to react to it. Hey, guys, if we find it and I really can't get to it, we'll get the exterminator, whatever, ABC, we're going to do these things. But if we talk about the things and we don't do anything with them, guess what happens to the problem? It stays there. My brother, one time, he had a little thing stuck. It was like a metal splinter stuck in his skin. And he let it sit there. Because it was painful to pull out. He couldn't quite get to it. And why bother going to a doctor, right? Why bother doing that? Well, it sat there for a couple days. What happened to that area where he didn't take it out? It became infected. And as mean of a big brother as I am, even I couldn't joke about the size his face swelled to. I was concerned. Mom was concerned. What happens when we don't fix the problem that's there? It doesn't go anywhere, and half the time it makes things worse for being there. I've seen that in raising children as well, where you'll have them and they'll do something bad at Gideon's age, and it's funny. And they'll do something bad at Caspian's age. And you're like, okay, all right, well, yeah, that's him. He's quirky. He's quirky at that age, right? At Jack's age, it's okay, all right, son, listen, you gotta stop it, right? You get to be a teenager, they become adults, and that problem that we laughed at when they were itty-bitty has become a huge part of who they are as an adult, and it's tearing up their lives. We could have nipped it in the bud here, but we let it go to get there because, oh, it was so cute. And it becomes a big problem. Many of us, we find problems in everything we do today. We turn on the news and there are problems. We can talk about abortion rates. We can talk about what's going on in the school systems, what's going on in the healthcare systems, what's going on with insurance, what's going on with the government. We can talk and talk and talk, but it is when we go to put our hands to the labor that we'll really see things happen. Right? I had a friend, he went off. I can't remember where he went to first. It was one of the big schools in the area. And he sat there in one of the classes. The teacher, as some professors do, by the way, some professors, they beat their chest. They're so proud of themselves. They got up and they started talking about atheism and how foolish it is to believe in God. My friend had a choice. He could either sit there silently, roll his eyes, and just get to the end of the class, or he can say something. And each and every one of us, whether we're in school, we're adults, we're looking at the government, we're dealing with whatever have you, we have a choice. Do something about it, or say nothing and let it pass. And we too often as Baptists let things pass. Chapter 9, verse 10, where are we at here? Here we are. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him that all they had done... Sorry, I'm looking in the wrong spot. Sorry, yes, no, I'm right. And the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. And he said unto them, give ye them to eat. So let's get the problem here in focus. The problem was we were out here. Just the church was here. It was just us. This was our time with Jesus Christ. This is us. And what happened? Well, all the people found us. Isn't that fun? Right? I'm focused on what we're doing at church. I'm focused on what's happening over here and what we're doing over there. And all of a sudden, I've got all this going on around me, right? There's the world that I bump into. There's politicians. There's all this happening. And I'm just happy with what's going on in our church, right? I saw this morning, we had 20 moms up here. 20 moms here in the church on a Sunday morning. That's wonderful. You know how hard that is in some churches to come by? And we had some visitors up here. That lit me on fire. I'm focused on what's going on in church. I love to study for what we're doing on Sundays and Wednesdays. I love this church and I love being a part of it, right? But you know what? There's still this great big world we got to be a part of. And I've seen this happen too with folks that get to that retirement age. They get so close to glory, they forget that they've still got to do stuff. It's the younger people now. Can we count the number of people under the age of 40 for a second? Right? We don't get to work now. I don't know, hon, we better start playing the lottery or something. We're going to be in trouble. I'm kidding. We don't play the lottery. I let Brother Mark buy the tickets for me. We think about that. Well, it's somebody else's problem. I'm getting too old. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to this. I don't have to that. Well, guess what? You do have to this and you do have to that. They had no intention of any of this going on. They weren't planning a citywide fellowship. They were certainly not planning on multiple cities coming out to this thing. All they had set plan for was us out here in a desert place learning from the Lord Jesus Christ. And here come all of these people. And Jesus, not to be deterred and not to be stopped, he goes over and he starts healing these people. And I think that's the fix it. He starts healing these people and teaching these people and ministering to these people. And I could almost imagine some of the disciples going, it's getting late. Oh, how are we going to feed these people? Does he realize these people are going to get hungry? They're going to want someone to feed them, and I'm not running to KFC. We don't have anything. We've got a few ketchup packets. We got some mustard packets with us. We don't have anything. We don't have enough coin in order for us to go and buy them food, right? We've got a problem. What we need to do is we need to send them away, and we'll just be able to enjoy what we have. We'll be able to feed ourselves, feed the master. Everything will be fine. So when they go to the Lord and say, hey, Lord, listen, we've thought about this and here's our plan for how to fix the situation. Here's how we end this meeting on a high note. We send them out there. They can go to Bed Bath and Falafel. They can go to chickpea out there and they can get their food and take their rest and we can have our time and figure out our own food. This is what we need to do. And the Lord turned to them and did not give them the solution they wanted. How many times have you gone to God and said, Lord, this is what I want? And the Lord said, okay, no. Do this. And in your head, you're looking at the bank account. You're looking at whatever, you're looking at all your resources and you go, yeah, Lord, that doesn't fit into my equations at all. See, I factored this and I factored this and I factored this, but you're asking for that and that doesn't make any sense to me. How am I supposed to do that, right? How am I supposed to fit in a daily diet of prayer, Bible study, and Bible reading? And how am I supposed to challenge myself in that when I've got all this stuff, when I've got all these kids, all these grandkids, all these demands for my life, how am I supposed to... No, you listen to what God has to say. You give them something to eat. And I could almost imagine the slack-jawed horror on their face. Does he not understand? There have been many times where the disciples kind of give a response as though they're trying to like nurture the Lord Jesus Christ into some understanding. Do you understand? Like this is the pocket money. It's not very heavy. We got 5,000 people out here, Lord. We've got a lot of people out here, and this is not enough dough in order to feed them with. Right? They're sitting there looking at a very plenary problem, a very specific problem. This is where we are. This is where the Lord is. And it's hard for us to think on his level, and it's hard for us to get to that point. But he just very simply tells them, you give them to eat. Listen, I'll tell you this. I know enough about the problems in this world. All right. There are so many times where it just seems like all we ever talk about are the problems. You know what? I know what the abortion rates are. I know why divorce rates are so high. I know what young people are getting into and how it's trashing their lives. I know the depth of the effect humanism is having on our society. I know what the president is doing. He might not know what he's doing, and he definitely doesn't remember what he's doing, but I know what they're doing, right? I know this. Tell me instead what we can do as a church to work the Great Commission, to counteract it. What the Lord says there is, you give them to eat. And what we see there is just this idea of every Christian, when you become a church member, you get a basket, right? And every day it's my job to go to the Lord and get my daily bread, right? Now, I think about this too when it comes down to the children of Israel, right? You picked for your whole family. And on certain days, you picked enough for the Sabbath day because you weren't allowed to go out and get anything on the Sabbath day, right? That was the one day you could keep it, right? Every other day, it just kind of burned up or turned nasty, got the little worms in it, and while those were good for protein, weren't very good on the palate, right? So every day, I get up, and I pray. I ask you a question. When you pray, do you just pray for you, or do you pray for those around you, all right? Lord, when I pray, I pray for the cares and concerns of all my friends. When I read and I study, I don't just read and study for me. That would be a picnic. I read and I study for the whole church. I read and I study for my whole family. I read and study for all those lost that I may find. I read and study for people who are in my life who might not necessarily be lost, might not necessarily be a part of my church, but to be able to have a conversation, we can lift each other up. And then you know what you do with that? You get that from the Lord, not from yourself, by the way, not from Joyce Meyer or Joel Osteen or what you pick up on the radio. You get that from the Lord, and I've lost my spot, and then I go into the groups and I give it out, right? And that's what the Lord commanded them to do. Put them in groups of 50s, right? And pass out the food. What do we have? Well, we've got this much fish and this much bread, and Lord, that's not enough. Perfect. Bring it to me. And the boy brings his lunch. The Lord separates it out. And they get it in the bucket, they get it in their little baskets, and they go out, and they're going out, and they're giving to the people. And then they come back, and they're like, all right, well, that's what he gave me the first go-round. There can't be anything more. And I've been there as well, where I think, you know what? Lord, you've exhausted this topic in my life. Lord, there's nothing else you could possibly give me on this subject. And then I get around to reading it again, and guess what I find? There's more. There's more to be dug out. When I was first serving in my church as a Sunday school teacher, we did this thing called Children's Chapel, where we would have a specific chapel set up to preach at the kids at their level. And I made a mistake, Sister Delbert. I made a mistake. I did this. We don't have any over here. I made a little girl hold a chair because she kept messing around in her chair. I said, you keep messing around in your chair, you're going to have to stand up. I made her stand up. And she got tired and she got bored, as kids do, so she started rattling the chair around. I made her hold the chair, right? In the moment, I thought it was funny. I thought it was justified. I thought it was a good idea. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that's dumb. That's dumb. Right? You're having fun at this kid's expense. It's not right. Now, keep in mind, I was 16, 17, 18 years old. I thought I had it all figured out. You know what? I did the wrong thing. So you know what? What I do when I think back at that, I pick that up. I learn from that. I revisit that thought and I go, you know what? So from now on, when I'm teaching people how to teach a Sunday school class, I'm going to bring that up. It'll be painful to me. But fast forward, she was talking about this. She was doing a report. She's about to graduate high school. So she called and she goes, I have to ask questions about a leader. I have to ask questions to my pastor, and I have to ask another person who is a leader. Can I ask you some questions? And I said, well, I'm not much of a leader, but go ahead. And that was awkward for me, because that little girl was the girl I made hold the chair. And she asked me, she goes, what do you think your biggest failure was as a leader or a teacher? And I did. You know what I said? I started to get tears in my eyes. I had to walk out of the room for my family. I go, you were there. My biggest failure is I failed on you. See, I thought I had an idea, but I didn't get it from the Lord, and I certainly didn't get it from better men or women in our church. It came to my young brain. I exercised it without mulling it over or doing anything valuable with it. I hurt her in that way. And I don't know if that ever affected her from ever wanting to be a teacher or a worker or even attending Sunday school or whatever have you. If she were a van kid, she might not have never come back, right? I thought about that. I go, you were there. I failed in that way. You know, in the moment, I thought I had it all figured out. Now that I look back, I realized how much I had to learn. Every time I go back to, Lord, show me how to be a leader, show me how to do something, I get something new. And I'll tell you what, if I'm in the ministry for 75 years, I pray that on my 76th year, I learn something new about leadership. Right? Not saying that I want to be a slow learner, I want to be a fast learner. There's a lot more that I can learn in my time frame. I want to keep getting stuff. We think that we can exhaust God on certain things, but that's not the case. You can't exhaust God on the use of your energy, on the use of your time, on the use of your mind when it comes down to serving Him. You cannot exhaust Him on it if we use Him as our source. I've seen people do this. They'll serve the Lord because they think that the Lord needs them, right? Well, you know, when you got my expertise and you've got this and you've got that, I'm like, oh, right? That young person thought, or maybe that person who thinks too much of themselves, the Lord needs me. You know what? The Lord does need you. The Lord requires you, but it's not because there's anything special about you. It's what He can do with you. And we got to hang on to that idea. Listen, the Lord is my source. He is my motivation in it. All right, as we said this recently, it's not a matter of having to do things, it's getting to do things. I don't know who brought that point up recently, but I get to do these things. I get to serve the Lord. All right, I have the most absolute fun when it comes down to doing certain things, right? Think about the last time you did anything for the Lord. Think about this. Who was it? Brother Dwayne fought me over a vacuum cleaner one day. It was my vacuum cleaner. And he was no doubt probably messing with me, but there's something to it. I love those days where everybody's got their baskets and some of us are vacuuming the floors and some of us, you know, we'll get over there at the fellowship. And I think it was Sister Glenda that tried to steal some tongs back from me after I stole them rightfully from her, right? And we just, I love doing this stuff. We'll get together praying together. And I'll tell you what, we came from a church, we didn't do that. We didn't have a prayer band service. Not saying that we were right or wrong for it, but I came here, I thought that was the coolest thing ever. We get people, we get all the men get together and pray. I don't think there's one man in our church who I have not heard pray. You understand how neat that is? Right? That we all take part of that? Right? That the ladies get together either in the office or over here. And I rushed over to ask Danielle because I left the air freshener on. I get worried about that. If that air freshener ever gets too strong, just pull that thing out of there. But anyway, I love that. That we participate in that stuff. Right? And I like this about our church. I'll show up and stuff's already happening. Right? I came in yesterday, there was flowers out in front of the church. Right? Because I've got that property manager mind still. I'm like, okay, how does the grass look? How does the roof look? All right, are the residents hanging weird like blankets or sheets in the windows? No. I go through and I saw the flowers out there in the front. And I go, whoo, that's beautiful. I'm looking at that, and I was out there, I was kind of peeking around, and folks, I walked my great big body all the way around just to go take a look at it on Saturday night, just, wow, right? I love that we do that stuff, right? Nobody said, hey, listen, you know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Now, we should have some communication, but I absolutely love that stuff. I love it when I sit there, I'll write something on my to-do list. Somebody else in the church has already done it. Right? I think I'm ahead of things. I'm on top of things. And there's somebody who's already got it. Well, Pastor, that's how we are. This is home church. Okay, this is home church. Praise the Lord for that. It's fun. We get to do that. You know, we get to have that time with the Lord. I press so hard on women. If you want to be godly, you've got to take that time. That's what I said this morning. For each and every one of us in this room, we get to have time with the Father. We're not just commanded to it. We get to have that time. Do you understand how valuable that is? Forgive the worldly expression, but for your mental health, for your brain, to stop and focus on the Lord. If I don't stop, it doesn't matter what level of performance you're at. If you don't stop and focus on what's the most important and prioritize, you'll lose it. If I'm going to prioritize, God's going to be number one, and I got to go to Him first. Lord, show me what needs to be done today. Because you know what we'll do? We'll get distracted. Right? Think about your days off. You ever, for those of you who retired, all my days are days off, but ones that you don't have a lot going on, you don't have a lot planned. Right? How do those go? How much, do you ever find yourself sitting in front of the television? I learned this trick a long time ago. I don't take my shoes off until it's time for me to relax. Right? You can keep your shoes on. Why? Because, alright, I'll take my shoes off, and to take my shoes off, I'm going to sit on the couch or sit in my chair, and once I sit in my chair, oh, the temptation to turn the TV on, and oh, the temptation just to sit there for a few minutes. You give in to that, and before you know it, you're sawing logs at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and your day is done. Right? Focus on the Lord. Lord, what verses do I need to be getting something from today? Lord, as I read through this passage, part of my schedule, just have something jump out to me. Right? We get to have that, and that should invoke joy. And then we see this as well, as if we do come across certain problems, we take responsibility to do something about them. Right? So often it devolves into this. Well, that's not my fault. I didn't do that. So, all right, it's there. Pick it up. It's there. Put some scrubbing bubbles on it. It's there. Take it out. It's something going on in the church. Pray for it. Hey, there's a work day. Get yourself there. Right? Take responsibility to solve the problems. Now, look at me. You can't solve all the problems. Right? I've asked this, by the way, if you're still interested in helping out in our sports night thing with the kids, I need two more. I've got two. I need two more. I don't expect Sister Mary to come help. I don't know how good your soccer kick. I don't expect people with limited schedules and limited physical ability to do things that they can't do. That's unreasonable, unfathomable. It's just not necessary. But you know what? If you've got the ability to do something, you step in and you take care of it. Right? It's not a matter of, well, it's not my fault. It wasn't my idea. That pastor said we ought to do this. And I think that kid's way off. No. If this is what God wants us to do, we throw our hands into it. We get excited about it. Hey, there's this problem in my life. And you know what? I can say that so-and-so caused it and so-and-so caused it. And this person over here had a hand in it. But ultimately, I've got two big hands and I can do something about this. Right? There's a young man in particular that I think of. Everything is somebody else's problem. And you know what happens? None of the problems get solved in his life. None of the things get handled. Why? Because he's waiting on everybody else in the entire planet to do something for him. Right? He'll call me on the phone. Hey, I need a little bit of money. I need a little bit of this. No. Right? I've told you 1,000 times. I gave you up to this point. No more. Get a job. All right, hey, listen, I want to boohoo and cry a little bit about some of the things that are happening. Are you willing to stop doing the things that's causing you to cry? Well, no, I like them. Get out of here. Take the things that are causing your problems, go enjoy them, because they're not going anywhere. Crying to me will not help. What we need to do is reach for the things and solve them. So many people, we've got sin in our lives, private things in our lives, and we're wondering, why is it that God's not blessing my witnessing? Why is it that God's not blessing my Bible reading? Why is it that I have so many problems in my family? It's because we've got problems there, and we're waiting for somebody else to bring in the food when God says, you give them to eat. I'll give you the fish. I'll give you the bread. I'll give you all the solutions that you need. You get your basket and come and give it out. See, the disciples, they didn't invite those people, did they? They did not. And depending on some of them, from what you see sometimes, they might not have necessarily wanted those people around all the time. But guess what? There's people there. What am I going to do? Sit there and pat myself on the back that I didn't cause the problem? Or am I going to handle something? I'm going to handle it. And folks, that is the true heart of a child of God. Here is a problem. Here is an opportunity. Here is something that I can do. You know what? I don't know that person over there at the grocery store. I don't know this person at the Meijer who looks like they're having a bad day. But you know what I can do? I can stop and make sure they're okay. I can give them the gospel. You know what? If they're having a hard time with this or that, I can have a conversation with them. You know what I shouldn't do? I shouldn't just sit there and say, not my circus, not my monkeys. Right? I enjoy that about my old job. I'll hear about problems. Ooh, not my pig, not my farm. Yeah, but Matt, this and that happened. Not my pig, not my farm. I was told you before about that lady who owed us about a year's worth of rent, right? She was in the $20,000 range of how much money she owed us, right? Now that was, the last payment we received from her was February 2020. And I got a phone call, I think it was late last week. Somebody who was still involved in it called me to tell me that the lady had passed away in January. And that her children, who had been raking all the money out of her bank account and not paying the rent with it, were living there. And when the lawyer, who I worked with very closely, saw her obituary, took it to the court, and the court says, oh yeah, well, if she's gone, there's no need for her to be able to keep the apartment. She's not living there. She's not living. No apartment. You can take it back. The son thought he had this great idea to use mom's email account to email the court, the lawyer, and the property and say, no, I'm still alive. I'm in Kentucky. I just can't come to court because I've got COVID. Yeah. Now listen, the company I used to work for had some great solutions for this. You could just at any time say, hey, give me one of them solutions. We even had at one particular point where we would have let the lady out of her lease owing us around 10 grand. We would have not hit her record for it. We would have not gone after her credit for it. It would have been, hey, we'll wash the 10 grand. You give me the keys. Move out in a decent time frame. We gave them 30 days to move out. It would have been beautiful. No. Right, at this particular point, well, she's gone. You just give us the keys back. It's fine. We won't press charges. No, I'm still alive. I'm not here in Kentucky. I've got COVID. Well, now that's perjury. That's stealing somebody's identity. That's a jail sentence. So the poor manager who took my spot has to suss all this out. And I kind of took joy. I don't want to take joy in people suffering, but I kind of took joy in the fact that I don't have to deal with any of that. I don't have to go to the court. I don't have to talk to the lawyer. I don't have to talk to the kids anymore. I just get to sit there and go, whoo, that is a big mess of wires and tangles. Praying for you. You know, we can't, I get joy out of that. Not my circus, not my monkeys. But you know what? That's job. It's not my job anymore. And you know what? If I were there, you'd probably have seen a grown man cry. Because that's a lot of paperwork. That's a lot of trouble. That's a lot of problems. That's a lot of time sitting at the court office trying to suss everything out. But you know what? There are people with problems. We need to not just sit there and go, oh, all right, praying for you. We need to stop and pray with them. You know what? If we've got friends and family and people around us that are struggling, we stop and we give them to eat. Right? Well, I'm not a child of God. The Bible doesn't help. Yeah, but here you go. Here you go. You may not like the flavor of it, but here it is. It's just you know, let me give you the gospel. You'll be surprised at what the Lord does with that and where the Lord puts you. Right? You'll be surprised at that. I thought about this. If we read on a little bit, the amount of food that was there makes no sense whatsoever for a little boy to have as his lunch, doesn't it? That hits you a little bit. Why has he got so much food? Why was he even there? What was he carrying it in? The Lord prepared all of that. Right? And there was nobody else with so much food. It was just that boy. God put that boy there. Right? For whatever reason, the boy goes, I'm going to need all these fish and all this bread. Honey, you don't need that much. It's just a day trip. I'm going to take it anyway, Mom. Okay, fine. Or maybe he snuck it out on Mom and Dad, right? Right? Either way, he had it. And he's walking all proud of himself. I've got this. And his mom's grumbling about the waste of the food and all the things we do as parents when our kids bring along something that they weren't supposed to bring along. I can't believe you brought that. You should have left that back. That's going to go bad. You're eating all of it. I'm telling you right now, you're eating all of it. All of a sudden, while they're sitting there and she's talking, she's like, well, I really am glad you brought some food because this would have been a long day. Here come one of the disciples. Does anybody have any food? And the little boy sits there, probably holds up his basket. Yeah! We get those opportunities where the Lord puts you someplace and you've got a basket of things and you're not necessarily sure why you got it. Why did God bring this to my mind today? Why was I reading that the other day? And the Lord puts you in a situation where you need that thing, right? whether it's extra money in your bank account, it was something that you read past in the Bible, God puts you in that situation, all of a sudden, hey, no, I've got it right here. I know exactly what to do. We get to have the ability to take responsibility to fix things. And I'll tell you what, it would have been one thing to go, and I mentioned this earlier, it would have been one thing for me to go, fill up my basket, go, and then come back and sit down. But there was 5,000 men to feed, and probably more on top of it, because there's more than just men, right? If you look at the way that that's set up, it was more than just men. So there's a lot of people to feed, right? And 12 people to do it. And I don't know how the size of those baskets, but there's only so much poundage of food you can carry at once, right? So they had to go. They filled up their basket. They went back out, and they go, okay, here I come. And I fill up the basket, and I go back out there again. And here's this other group of 50, and here's your food. Okay, well, no, we're coming right over to you. And it must have been exhausting. I ask you a question. When was the last time you were tired in serving the Lord? Not tired of serving the Lord. When was the last time you were tired in serving the Lord? Right, you guys were telling me about how some of the men were out there working on the asphalt in the parking lots. That sounds rough. I can't wait to get to do that one day. No joke, it's good to be tired, isn't it? I hate going to bed with some left in my tank. I want to be tired. I want to be a little exhausted. I like the idea of my brain just not being able to do anything else. It's good, right? You hit the pillow and you know you earned that bedtime, right? We need to be tired in serving the Lord from time to time where, hey, we're doing this and hey, we're doing that. And hey, you know what? We've got this going on. I do get concerned from time to time that, you know, I'm saying, all right, now listen, Friday mornings, we're going to get together. All right. And then we're going to do prayer band. And you know what? We're going to also, every now and then, we're going to get together for a work day. Right, and I kind of put that together in my head at one particular point. We'll have the Bible conference, prayer band, maybe a coffee meeting on a morning somewhere. We'll have a lot of time spent here in the church. And I thought about that going, well, people hate that I'm doing that so often. And you know what came to my mind? I don't care. Don't throw stuff at me. I don't care. The best times of my life have been within the four walls of the Lord's house. They have been. Some of the best times where I've gone home beat half to death were times that I was working at the church. I had this one buddy, and I love him to death, but that man is psychotic. He is a contractor. He is a construction worker. He builds things with his hands. This guy is the Energizer Bunny, but wrapped in muscle and sweat and hair. Like, he's not a real rabbit. He's a manly man, but there's an Energizer battery in him somewhere. We got together one time. We were building the deck. Going up the wheelchair ramp, going to the back of Flat Rock. And we got everything all set. We got everything all good. And I think at another point, we were also going to dig out and fix the walls going around the back basement door. And we had just gotten everything done, and we were looking at our clocks. And we got done with the project in just enough time to still go do something fun on a Saturday. So we're all licking our lips going, all right, we're going to go do this. And he goes, hey, while we're here, can we build a fire pit with the rest of the cement? But you don't understand, I'm covered in dirt and mud, I'm tired, I'm sweaty, I don't smell good, I really just want to go have fun, I've got my wife at home and all my excuses and this and that. You know what we did? He's persuasive, we built a fire pit. You know what we did for years after? We got together and we had a fall festival for a fall cookout around that fire pit. And I've got some great memories with the church members around that fire pit. I was glad I put the work in. All right, now that's my thing, Brother Tim. We're going to go dig a fire. No, I'm kidding. it was a great moment. I was tired. And I'll be honest with you, at the end of a day like that, I was a little irritable. I was smelly. I was dirty. But when we went over and we lit that fire pit for the first time, that was great. We had fun with that. The Huggins came and visited us on Wednesday. They used to have us in their backyard all the time. I grew up shooting skeet in their backyard. Right? That was beautiful. It was also scary because you didn't want to deal with Sister Hugan if you accidentally hit anything in her garden. So you had to go just where Brother Ben told you to be and nothing else. And the man had 1,000 rules, kept us from blowing our toes off. It was great. All that work, all that effort put in was well worth it. We'd go out there, we'd cause all sorts of mess. And then you know what we would do? We'd clean that mess up. Right? It was fun. You'll never have more fun than when you're sweating in the face serving the Lord. It's just what it is, right? We need to have that. Now listen again. I'm not saying this for one particular cause or the other. Right? I'm not sitting there saying everybody needs to perform this ministry or that ministry. There's some things you can't do. One of my absolute favorite and the most vital ministries in the church is the prayer ministry. Your personal time in prayer. Right? Get down on your knees. Spend time serving the Lord. If you do nothing else, you are doing a great service. Right? If you're giving the gospel in your daily life, you are doing the church and the Lord a great service. That's what I'm talking about. Right? I'm talking about those times when we're here together ministering in certain ways. Take joy. Keep filling your bucket even when you're frustrated. Right? I told that story about us working. You get frustrated after a while when things don't work right, don't you? When you're pouring cement, I tell you what, cement and technology, two of the most frustrating things you can play with. Right? We would build something up, and the cement would start to leak around the walls, and you just want to sit there and take that shovel and the tools that you're working with and just, and you just lose your mind on it. But you know what you do? You fill your bucket back, you fill your basket back up. You get back at it, right? You show up to church on Sunday the next morning, even though you're completely frustrated at this fire pit. You're completely frustrated at this wall we're trying to build to stop water from coming into the church. I'm frustrated by this piece of equipment that won't turn on. This printer over here that whenever I'm in a hurry, it knows it. I'm not looking at you, Brother Mark. I'm looking over where the printer is shooting daggers at it. If I've got all day, copy. If I'm in a hurry, all of a sudden my computer and that printer don't want to talk anymore. They're not friends anymore. Right? I'm frustrated. I'm angry. Stop. Go back to Jesus. Go to God. Talk to Him. Go back to the grace, the patience, the long-suffering that Jesus Christ shows. Fill that basket back up with patience and long-suffering and mercy. And you go back out and serve again. And that's in your daily prayer. That's in your work here in the church. How about this one? When you feel defeated. It's easy day in this day and age for a church member to feel defeated. I sat there one time at church and I'd invited several of my friends from school to come to church. And you know what? We were running vans. We had people in there. We needed more room. We needed more buildings. We needed more teachers. I was so glad. I sat there and I was able to vote my brother in when he made a profession of faith. And I had given him the gospel. And there was a couple friends that were there that I had given the gospel to. And they came. And I was like, Lord, I'm so glad. Like, I know this isn't me. I know this has nothing to do with me other than the fact that I got to be there. I'm so glad I got to be there when this happened. All of them left. And to this day, I don't know which ones were saved and backslidden. Which one were never saved to begin with? I've got my theories on it. Broke my heart. You know what? I felt defeated in that moment. When I'm sitting there looking what used to be me surrounded by friends, now the pew's getting suddenly smaller. When we'd get together and have those fires over by the fire pit, there were less people there. It's easy for us to feel defeated when we don't have our version of success. What do we do instead? Lord, what is your idea of what success is? Right? Lord, protect me from what's going on. We look at some of these churches that get shut up. You know, that one in Canada. And of course, I wouldn't necessarily call it a church per se, but religious organization, they put that fence around. Easy to feel defeated, isn't it? But you know what? God protects us. And He gives us that encouragement and that energy that we need to push past. A man by the name of Ira Sankey, who for years led the music for D.L. Moody's evangelistic meetings, was traveling by steamboat on Christmas Eve in 1875. He was recognized by some of the passengers, and they asked him to sing. Sankey agreed, and he began singing, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." When the song was done, one of the listeners stepped forward and asked, "Did you serve in the Union Army?" "Yes," Mr. Sankey answered. "Can you remember if you were doing picket duty on a bright moonlit night in 1862? "Yes," Mr. Sankey said again. "I was serving in the Confederate Army. When I saw you standing at your post, I raised my gun and took aim. I was standing in the shadow completely concealed while the full light of the moon was upon you. At that instant, you raised your eyes to heaven and began to sing the same song. See, that's how he recognized him. Let him sing his song to the end, I said to myself. I can shoot him afterwards. That's very considerate. I heard the words perfectly. We are thine. Do thou befriend us. Be the guardian of our way. I began to think of my childhood and my God-fearing mother who sang that song to me. When you finished, it was impossible for me to take aim again. I thought the Lord who is able to save that man from certain death must surely be great and mighty. Or as Proverbs puts it, Proverbs 2:8, he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. You're not beat. You still drawing breath? Still on your feet? I've known saints who had neither their feet nor much air in their breath, right? Air in their lungs. They could barely put it together. We're still giving the gospel. Men and women of God who could not barely croak a word, but still prayed faithfully for their church, thanking God for their life and for another day. We have so much in the Lord, but we cannot have defeat. Even when you think there can't possibly be any more left to fill your basket with, you go back to the Lord and you fill your basket again. Well, nobody's going to want any more food. Fill the basket. No one in Mount Morris, no one in Clio, no one in Flushing, no one in the area around us is going to want the gospel. Fill your basket anyway. See, the Lord's not waiting for you to know who the elect are. The Lord's not waiting for you to realize when this thing is done, right? There are two kinds of fighters that I have learned, and not that I follow fighters all that well, but there are the fighters that give up, and there are the fighters that you have to put down. And you have to ask yourself every day, what kind of fighter do I want to be today? Do I want to be the kind of person who gives up on the Mount Morris Clio, gives up on the elect that may be in our area? Do I want to give up on the Lord today because of all of these unsurmounting things that are happening around us? I don't. I don't want to get so frustrated. I don't think that it's worth it for us to try anymore. I don't want to get frustrated at this or that, and it would stop me from grabbing a hold of a wet wipe or a vacuum cleaner or a window wash, whatever it is that we're doing. I would never want to be so frustrated that I stop working for the Lord in that way. Now listen, ministries change, things don't work out. You can't be to every coffee meeting, you can't be to every work day, you can't serve at every ministry, I understand that. But for us to pack it all in together and say, you know what? This is my ministry. I hold the pew down, right? I'll come in just when the song starts, I'll leave just as the song ends, and that's it. Don't ask me for a word of encouragement. Don't ask me to pray for you. Don't ask me to do anything. I'm here to hold the pew down. Now, am I correct in stating that these are screwed in? We don't need that ministry. Technology has saved us that ministry. What we need instead are prayer warriors, bathroom cleaners, gospel givers. We need people who are willing to show up. And even though it's just a bunch of kids, being their entire world for a Thursday afternoon while they kick a ball around the field. We need people to mow that field, right? And I'll even ask this for some of you men who come by and mow. Can you please just tap on the door, let me know you're here? I have twice been completely startled. I think it was when Brother Tim was here. I'm like, oh, I saw him. I was like, oh, hey. But Brother Mark, I sat there for a good 10, 15 minutes trying to figure out when that helicopter was going to land. I'll be over there praying sometimes, and the motorcycle guy will go by, and he's rearing. I don't know if you guys hear him, but that's the guy who comes by, and he peps that engine up four or five times as he goes by, right? So I'll be praying, and and Lord, I pray for motorcycle guy. You give him a safe trip. Lord, just make him help him get home today well. You know, let him not do anything foolish out there. You know, but tap on that door. Let me know you're here. Want to know why? Because that encourages my heart. I don't need to know you're here. I don't need to know what you're doing. I don't need to know how much gas you put in the thing. I don't need to know how well she's running today. You don't need my permission to do it, but just light my fire. Hey, brother, I'm over here. I'm on this thing. Can I have a turn? No. Get back in there. Let me take her around the block. No, you get in there. That's excite me. Come by, I saw those flowers, I see the lawn gets mowed. We need people who are like, you know what? I'll do this. I ain't got a lick of time, but you know what? I can do this. You know what? I don't have much energy, but I will do that. You know, we were talking before. You know what? If we're out there and I do have those door knockers to pass out, when we get things organized, we're out there passing door knockers out. Some of you are going to sit there and say, well, brother, I can't walk. Well, praise the Lord. Can you drive? Well, yeah. Good. Because you know what? This isn't the city I'm used to. The city I'm used to, there's sidewalks and crosswalks and lights. Over here, it's just country space between them. So guess what? We need drivers. Well, brother, I can't drive. Can you pray? Well, yeah, I can pray. Good. When I say that we're going to get together at such and such a time, you pray for us. And you just pray that the Lord keeps us safe. The Lord gives us energy. No sprained toes. No sore backs. That we can get through this thing. And maybe people open the door. And maybe we'll be able to give the gospel out. Well, just pray that the Lord bless what we're doing. That's what I would ask. Well, I don't really have a lot of time for this, but I do see this opportunity for me to throw my hand in there. Well, praise the Lord. Woo! Sister Rita was coming for me. Praise the Lord! Get yourself into it. Do it. Right? I think of some of these ladies here who have kids. I told this joke. I hope nobody gets offended by this. I told this joke to somebody. I said, we've got 12, I can't remember how I got, we've got like 12 kids in our church. And they go, wow. I go, from two moms. They didn't know what to say about that. I was tickled to death. It's hard for certain people to do all the things, right? And some people go, that's one thing I can't do, brother. Well, okay, that's fine. But I do see that. You see it? Do you like it? Yeah! Get it! Right, let's talk it over. Let's communicate. Let's work through these things. Let us serve the Lord together with what we have. The very first thing that Jesus said was, well, what do we have? All right, what food is there in the camp? What time do you have? What energy do you have? What strength is left in your legs and your knees and your back? What do you have to give? Give that. Do you have your mind? Awesome. Pray for us. Right? We all have the ability to serve in different ways. We may not all be able to do the same things. And there may be some things that are outside of our reach. And I'll even say this. You know what? Of all the tradesmen that were in that group, not a single one of them are waiters. Stop watching those steps. Not a single one of them were waiters. Were they? Were there any skilled waiters in here? Any busboys? No. They're all from like higher end jobs, right? And yet all the same, guess what we are today? Today we're waiters. I don't know how to do that. I'll teach you. You know, there's going to come a time where I ask the church, hey, listen, this is where the Lord's leading us to do it. And you may have the desire to do it, but no knowledge. Look at me. I get a lot of flack for being young. I've been doing things for a while. I know how to do things. I'm well taught, well educated, well read. I've spent years underneath a pastor who dedicated himself to the study of those things. And not just to the study, but to the teaching of those things. If there's something that needs to be done in this church outside of some of the more physical things, all right, if there's something spiritual that's needed in this church, I'm going to teach you that. Right? The Lord doesn't need a bunch of experts. He needs a bunch of willing hearts. He'll handle the expert thing on the road. Right? All you need to do is say, listen, I've got a willing heart. I'll do this. Right, Jada, we were joking with Jada. She goes, I'm not really all that good at sports. You know what? Nobody here is. We'll make it up. Right? I didn't say, hey, let's have a sports night because I love sports. Or I'm good at sports. Or I play sports. Or I can run. That's none of those reasons why I did that. There's reasons for it and had nothing to do with me liking it. Or me being an expert at it. We put our hands in anyway. Listen, we can learn things. We're in the digital age. We've got the ability to learn stuff. We can meet together in church. We can, if we don't know certain things, we can look those things up. Plenty of experts, men and women who know how to do things in the church. I love that. I love the fact that when we're talking about doing things like the fellowship, that Sister Ruth Ann comes up and she's got the menus. Right? It was like somebody came up with the floor plan and the road map and the compass to go along with it and goes, here, I don't know if this is going to help you or not. Hand me something that says X marks the spots. Ask me if that helps. Yes, I love that. talent and wisdom and know-how and experience, and all the people in our church have it, we can go for miles on this stuff. And we can have joy while we're doing it. Count it joy to be a part of it. Listen, Lord, you're doing great things at home church. And I get to be there for it. I get to be a part of it. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Listen to me. They were out there battling against devils, and they came back with joy. That doesn't sound like a joyous thing to me. That sounds a little nerve-wracking. But they had joy. Sometimes you're going to be in the scary parts of it, and you can have joy. Psalm 30, verse 5, for his anger endureth for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a moment or for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Even though there are things happening, the Lord is chastening us, there are issues, there's sorrow. You know what? We'll have that for just a little while. And even in that, we can have joy. Nothing else gives that to you. Right? I also see in Scripture, verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Stick to your guns and you'll have joy. Whether it's sorrow, fighting against the world, it seems like there's defeat, you keep battling and you will have joy. One of the greatest and most joyous things is that we get to be God's hands in this earth. We get to be the tools that do the things. We get to be that. We'll finish with this one. A Christian herder, this was the governor of Massachusetts. He was running hard for a second term in office. One day after a busy morning chasing votes, he arrived at a church barbecue, and it being a church, they said, well, come on in, Governor, have some food. And he was working his way through the line, and he was hungry. Oh, so hungry. He got through the line, and he got up to this lady, and she put a piece of chicken on his plate, because it was probably a Baptist church, put a piece of chicken on his plate. And he goes, I am famished. Can I have a second piece of chicken? She goes, no, the rule is one per person. So one chicken, that's all you get. And he goes, are you sure? Yeah, just one chicken, one per customer. That's what we're doing today. And he goes, being a very meek man from what the story says, and I haven't researched the man much myself, and I really don't know what year this took place, but he decided that this particular moment he was going to throw the government official card. He says, well, I'm the governor of Massachusetts. He goes, do you know who I am? I'm the governor of Massachusetts, and I think it'd be really good if you gave me a second piece of chicken. And she looked over at the governor. She says, do you know who I am? I'm the lady in charge of the chicken. Now move it along. It's kind of fun being in charge of the chicken. It's kind of fun having a vacuum cleaner. It's kind of fun tidying up the pews and fixing the mess the kids makes and coming out and mowing the lawn and giving the gospel and handing out the tracts and slipping door hangers onto things and getting together and praying. It is a lot of fun. I ask you this question. Have you ever dreaded going into work? I used to do this all the time, and I know you're supposed to have a good attitude, and I was always grateful for my job, but I dreaded eviction days. And I think you know why, because they're eviction days. It was never good, it was never clean, it was never tidy, you never felt like a good person. You felt like a horrendous person every time you did it. Even though you know they've been there for 3 months without having to pay rent, even though you know they were laughing at you, even though they know they didn't take you seriously, but when you're sitting there and you're talking to the bailiff and he's got some staff out there and some of the staff have plastic bags. If you've never heard about an apartment eviction in Downriver, Michigan, here's how it goes. A bunch of people from the court come out with trash bags. They take all of your belongings. They throw it in the trash bags. They are not nice. They are not kind. They are not careful. They don't care what went with what bag. They don't care what your nonna gave you. They don't care what you bought at Tiffany's. They don't care about anything. Just throw it in there. And then they set it out. And everybody you've waved hi to, everyone you've held the door for, everybody you've given a Christmas card to of your neighbors, they come through and they pick through your stuff while you're at work. Not a very pretty process. My heart was heavy on those days. You know what I found? My heart's never heavy walking through those doors. I'm not just talking as a pastor. I'm talking as a church member. I've never been sad. I've never been frustrated. I've never been dreading any one thing or the other that had to happen. Now, there have been things where I go, Lord, I hope this goes well. And there are things that I've wrung my hands over. And there have been things that I've had to figure out. But the Lord gave joy through all of those things. And you know what I've often found, too, in this church? That this church is filled with people with good attitudes. It's hard when you come across people with bad attitudes. Right? It's hard. This church is filled with people with wonderful attitudes. I've seen more often than not where people communicate things back and forth. There's a particular thing that some of the church members have done. Y'all will come up to me and say, hey, listen, this thing that I had every right to do and everything that, you thought was really, really cool, I'm so sorry I did, if that offended you. I'm like, no, you did the right thing. And many of you probably sat there, you remember a time where I said, no, that's the right thing to do, right? I just have a dumb face. No, but I get excited about that. Why? Because we're reasonable people. I love doing that. Hey, listen, you know, I said this thing, and I'm pretty sure that crossed a line. If that crossed a line, please, I'm so sorry, right? Why? Because what does that do? It clears the air. It makes things better. It fixes things, right? Here we have that. We have that here. And folks, I tell you what, I've never dreaded walking through those doors. As a church member, we shouldn't. We can have joy in handling of the things. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful.